goes high towards Taylor. Walsh got there ahead of him though. On care plays it back in again. And no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Washback Swindon Town podcast. I'm Ron Smith. On our previous podcast, we revelled in a goalless draw, believe it or not, after a miserable 2 months at the County Ground. Today, and three successive wins later, could the playoffs now be in sight for Mark Cooper's men? Town's 2-1 victory over Sheffield United wasn't a spectacular performance by Town. However, the late manner of the victory kind of lifted all of our spirits, and let's see if our guests are really still on cloud nine. So welcome to Flip Wiltshire's, what's your title? Is it Chief Sports Reporter, Andrew?
Sports Editor.
Sports Editor. Very, very yeah. Nice official title. Words. And Andrew Still-Davis, welcome.
Good morning.
And also Ian Watkins, morning. Welcome.
Hello, Ron.
And hi. Also Adam Tanner.
Good morning.
Hi. No official titles for you two, I'm afraid.
No.
We could come up with a couple.
Yeah.
We call it a few.
Yeah. So,
just keep it clean.
Well, we'll try.
Yeah.
So Sheffield United victory yesterday, that was quite some performance, obviously, after what's happened over the recent couple of weeks and months. To actually, you know, we all thought a couple of weeks ago on the podcast we were talking about a really tough end of March with Preston coming to the County Ground, also, you know, finishing this period with Sheffield United. I mean, Ian, that actual performance there by Town has really lifted some spirits now.
Yeah, I think. I don't think you necessarily say the last three performances have been anywhere near the best this season, but it's the fact they've ground out the results, and that's what we haven't been doing for the past couple of months. I mean, yesterday's first half performance was decent, but I think we've had one shot on target that first half, which was the goal, and second half we came under the cosh. But it's the fact we've held out, and we've obviously counter-attacked at the end and sneaked the result. But I think, to say, it's not the quality necessarily, it's the fact that we've again, I use the word ground it out.
Mm. I mean, it wasn't pretty, Adam. I mean, the performance as a whole, one thing that kind of stuck out for me, so the first half really was Sheffield United sitting back quite a lot and rarely coming into Town's half, rarely pressing us, which is quite strange because that's what a lot of our opponents have actually been doing to us at home. To what extent did that allow Town to actually get that initial opening?
I think it probably did. As you said, it was the kind of approach that suits us. I think, as Ian mentioned, we only really created one clicker chance in the first half, and a very nice goal it was too. But I think the first half had something in common with a lot of the first halves earlier in the season, which we basically scored a goal out of nothing, and then not a great deal else happened. But we did come under the cosh in the second half. Although their goal came from open play, I think most of their threat came from set pieces. We dealt with the set pieces generally quite well. I think both the centre-backs were good. I think Stevens has been a really good addition. We look much more solid with him in the team. He plays like a much more experienced player than he actually is. Weathers got better at coming for crosses, which Cooper's acknowledged, which has certainly helped. We dug in, ground it out, and we probably only really had two or three decent opportunities in the game. Mm. And we put two of them away, which certainly we hadn't been doing for months before.
Mm. I mean, as Adam said, Andrew, about sort of that chance out of nothing. But I mean, they're, you know, the best goals come from that sort of incisive move. And watching the highlights back, it was Swindon were just sort of playing it around very sort of sideways in defence with Troy, Kazim coming back, and Ben Gladwin there with the ball. And then suddenly all it took there was Gladwin just to kind of just feign his look, put that ball up quickly upfield up to Michael Smith, who just dinked it onto up to Story. It just took a. That's the whole point about Swin's patient build-up yesterday, and it really showed in that first half.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it was a clinical finish from Story, and that's what he can offer you, that pace that got him away from the defence, and it was a clinical finish. His second goal in as many games. I know he took a bit of ribbing yesterday for both goals. Obviously, he's got Tranmere was a cross, despite him keep trying to tell me that he meant it.
Did they suggest it was another cross shot yesterday?
Cooper did suggest that. So, but I think it's been mentioned about their approach yesterday. Cooper mentioned in the week that Sheffield under Nigel Clough will go to any team and just hustle and bustle and just won't leave you alone. And from the off, that's what Swindon were doing yesterday. And Sheffield didn't know how to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Story, for me, particularly impressed. You know, there was a couple moments in the first half where he nicked the ball from the one where he set up Michael Smith, where he just dawdled on the ball too long, which summed up his afternoon. And then the ability to sort of harass the opposition up further up the pitch is, you know, it's come because of the signing of Jack Stevens. As Adam mentioned, you know, bringing someone in like Jack Stevens has allowed the team to push further up. He's really brought a calming influence on that defence. You know, I mean, he joined before 2 days before Bristol City, and the transformation of that defence has been pretty incredible in a matter of games. And as Adam also said, you know, he's 20 years old, but he plays like he's been playing the game for.
Yeah, well, he's certainly sort of his reading of the ball and movements and just pure decision making at the back is just absolutely fantastic. And there were so many times yesterday that the ball went over. It was a diagonal ball from Sheffield United because Nathan Thompson was higher up the field, and it was always job for Stevens to, you know, to cover that position. Every time he got the ball, tackled one or just got there first and cleared it.
Something that Dan Hunt and I were saying is that we don't know how quick he is because his reading of the game is so good that he never needs to cover much ground. Yeah. He's just always there ahead of the ball.
But that's something that, I mean, Ian, that Darren Ward can't provide at the moment. I mean, Darren Ward's got the reading, but he hasn't got the pace at the moment to kind of cope with it. I mean, you know, Stevens is a quality player.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to see how he'd do in a back two. I mean, you say diagonal balls, I mean, he's obviously got less of an area to defend, I suppose you could say. I know, obviously, Nathan Thompson's slightly further up, but I'm not going to use the word, but it was a very sensible signing. And obviously, after the Wolves game, Cooper acknowledged something had to be done.
But it's a sensible signing, but it's still coming in at the crunch time in the season after we've got had really terrible form, and you're bringing in a 20-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Well, unless he was thinking.
But from our perspective, coming in, I didn't know of the chap before. So, I mean, my always kind of view as a supporter, we need someone with a bit more sort of experience coming in, but this is just me being a bit wrong or blinkered, perhaps. So, for me, it's just a complete shock that someone of his sort of inexperience as a whole. I mean, what's he played as with a loan for other clubs? He played in the SPL or something?
No, he was at Plymouth as a 16-year-old, and then Southampton signed him, and then that's been it.
Yeah, so he's never played any football league, really. And to come straight in, I mean, well, first it just shows the quality of the Southampton youth setup and the quality of their actual development team games that they're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to come in, you know, in the crunch time, actually put up those performances, it absolutely astonished me. I'm getting carried away, as usual, after a couple of games. I mean, I hope we see him back next year. We'll come on to that anyway. But, I mean, Andrew touched on it. I mean, another key sort of real performance yesterday was Wes Fodringham. And it's, you know, for me, no surprise that since Wes came back at Bristol City, the Town have had two clean sheets. But also he has pulled out a raft of saves, particularly at Tranmere in midweek. There are a couple as well.
Yeah.
Although he was lucky in terms of the post helping him out a bit. But yesterday, there were the two chances. Was it first half? It was
first
two saves in quick succession, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your reading of Wes's contribution and importance there?
Well, yesterday, I have to admit, all the way up until that last minute, my star man was going to go to Jack Stevens. But that last save, the quality of it, for him to adjust his body to somehow keep that out, you know, was stunning alone. Obviously,
so that was a chance from the close range header, wasn't it?
Yeah, and obviously we went up
distributed,
the other end, and the rest of history, as they say. But yeah, you know, I was up at Tranmere Tuesday night. The save he made from Jake Cassidy was, you know, he put it on social media after, it's one of those saves you only make once a season. Well, he's actually made it twice now after yesterday. But it, for me, since he's come back, it's not so much his saves. He's always been a natural shot stopper, and we've seen that ever since day one, ever since he first arrived at the club. But what's sometimes been under question is his command of his area, his ability to come for high balls, and also sometimes his distribution. But all three of those have come on leaps and bounds since he's come back. Yeah. He's commanded, I think yesterday, every time he went up for a ball, he won it comfortably. That punch he made in the second half where he punched it clear, he's confident coming out. His command of his area is now brilliant. We've seen that ever since he's come back against Bristol City. And Cooper said yesterday after the game that he's been working closely with Ty Balfour on his distribution, because obviously that's something that Ty's more comfortable with, having come through the Liverpool academy. So I think the club are very blessed to have two very good keepers at the club, because they seem to be working off each other. You know, Ty seems to be helping Fodringham out with his distribution, and I'm sure Fodringham will help Ty out with his shot stopping. So you know, I think the club's very blessed to have two very good keepers.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, in terms of Fodringham's performance, you know, it was sort of, I'm trying to remember what happened now in terms of the second goal. So he saved it from the header and then quickly threw it out, did he? I can't quite remember. Or whether he just parried out to Lewis Thompson.
Yeah, I think he basically parried it out wide to either Lewis Thompson. He obviously made it to Byrne, who covered a lot of ground down the right, probably 80, 90 yards. And then Byrne played the square ball. I haven't seen the goal back, but I don't think Louis hit it. One of his weaknesses in front of goal, I don't think he hit it particularly cleanly, but luckily the keeper didn't get a grasp of it. But it can't have been within more than 15 seconds of the save. So it was a real...
real quick, real and time.
Absolutely.
Proper sort of
and Burn, it was cut out for Burn, because I think Story and Burn are the only really quick players we've got, and it's cut out for Burn just to run 80 yards in a straight line. He did very well.
I think Story got hold of it. He was certainly involved in a build up to
that.
I can't remember who quite got out from the same.
I think it was Lewis Thompson.
Louis Thompson got the ball initially from Fodringham, kicked it up to Story, who held the ball up and passed it back to Burn, ran with the ball up, although the commentator on the highlights said it was Kassim, which is quite interesting, but as always. As you said, over to Thompson, who again sort of started and finished the move to some extent, and a bit of a toe poke, but it was just lovely watching it, and it was just that slow motion where it kind of went under the goalkeeper and it kind of bounced over. Is it going to go? Is it going to go? Is there going to be a Sheffield United player coming in from behind to just clear it away? But they didn't, and it's just, I haven't celebrated a goal like that for a long, time, because that was just, as you said, right under the cross that second half, and just to see that was just such smart. And of course Sheffield United had that goal sort of disallowed to some extent, or there was an offside, so they were a bit aggrieved a bit sooner in the half, but they were certainly right back in the game.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I was saying to Adam earlier, there was only one team that won that, and it wasn't going to be us. I think we'd done well to hold them after they got their equaliser, to hold them to 1-1. I felt confident we'd probably hold out, but I thought if anyone's going to get the goal, it's not going to be us. And they've proved me wrong again.
Of course, going back to the goal, one of the best things about it was Nathan Thompson's celebration running around the edge of the pitch to go and join his brother at the town.
It's a bit like Paolo at Northampton.
It was.
I mean, Andrew touched on it a little bit about Michael Smith's performance. Apart from, you know, first half he was more into it, ultimately got the assist for Story. But second half, I can understand why Cooper kept him out there, because, you know, in terms of options on the bench, it was Conor Waldron, who's only played really twice for Town before, and 4 or 5 minutes over the space of 2 years. He was quite frustrating, and you know, I mean, do you think Cooper really should have kind of taken him off a bit sooner?
I think, you know, I'll probably get accused of some bias here. You know, first and foremost, yes, his performance was poor yesterday. You know, there's no hiding away from it. It was one of those games where, you know, we all have days where we go out and nothing goes right. You know, all day, everything we put our hand to, it goes wrong. And he had one of those days yesterday. And I think the options on the bench for Cooper, he was limited, and I think, you know, he's in a situation at the moment where he is still focusing on the fact that they're just trying to finish the season as strongly as they can in terms of building for next year. You know, there's certain players out of contract, Walden's one of them, and I don't think it was a game yesterday, the way the second half was panning out, to throw Walden in any earlier.
That's the first, not the first I've seen him. But no, he certainly is a bit light up front as a player. I can certainly. But you know, I still think it was good to throw in someone else because it was kind of clear a bit sooner that we need a different option. And in terms of others, sort of, you just touched on there about players being out of contract. I mean, is Lee Cox, obviously, that was his first start at Swindon for what, 2 years or something. I mean, is he another player who's out of contract this summer?
He's out
or is
of
he,
contract.
I mean, Adam, what do you think about his performance? I mean, you know, first off, as I saw, that he was really sort of getting into it.
Yeah. I think he was tidy. I think he failed in the second half, which is probably understandable when you haven't played a game for 2 years. But we're in a position where a lot of our players haven't played, including Alex Smith, haven't played a lot of football. And the fitness level is obviously quite high, which is good. But yeah, at this stage, I mean, obviously 90 minutes is basically all we've seen of him for a very long time. I wouldn't be ranking him ahead of Louis Thompson or Luongo when fit. But he certainly looked like a tidy, calm, composed player, a sort of 7 out of 10 type who can sit deep and do a reasonable job.
But you know, in terms of sort of Cox for next season, in terms of, you know, signing on, I presume that because he was one of the Paoli Di Canio players who were brought in, he's probably going to be on about $20,000 a week or something. he isn't, but you know, if Cooper does want to keep him, potentially there's a bit of a difficulty there in terms of wage expectations. It is purely speculation.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he'd be on that much. He would have, having come down from Inverness, I don't think he would have been on all that much up there. In terms of bringing him back to his home country. So, in terms of his performance, I think you've got to say that I'm not surprised he put in a good shift first half, because either way, he's looking at getting a new contract with us or getting a contract somewhere else in a couple of months' time. So he wants to be shown what he's capable of. If I just go back to Smith very quickly, I think part of the reason why he did stay on a bit longer was probably because, like you say, the set-piece threats they offered, and obviously we don't have a lot of height throughout the team, and he's somebody who can help out defensively. Nothing happened for him in the opposition half, but he certainly helped out in the defensive half.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, if Andy King would have been charged, he would have put Rossi Branco up for him,
of course. You know, he's got a shot on him, though, to be fair.
Yeah, so. He has. So, but, you know, that's the other way of looking at it. I mean, trying to think what else, really. I mean, you know, Archibald Henvoy put another source, really good performance in. Particularly its distribution again, sort of really useful and kind of picking up very, very well with McEvely and Stevens at the back. It's surprising he's another player that's out of contract at the end of the season, considering how much we're still paying for him. We recently just paid another $50,000 or whatever it was to keep him on, Andrew. I mean, he seems to be really in the running now to be kept, despite potential future budget cuts, or do you know a bit more about?
He'll be offered reduced terms. Yeah, certainly. There's no doubt about that. The club will certainly want to keep him because he's proven since he's come back what a good defender he's been, and he's been, along with Stevens, has been part of the reason why, you know, there's been this new side to the team which we haven't really seen this year. Whether or not he accepts reduced terms, I'm not sure, but the other side of the coin is that this is a player who, he's 24, 25. He can only play once a week. He can't play, his knee's worse off than Jay's. He can't play Saturday, Tuesday. He can only train once or twice a week. So I don't think there'll be that many teams out there who would want to pay a large amount of money every week for someone who, you know, when it's a busy period at the start of the season or when it's the Christmas time, he's going to be missing for half the game. So hopefully that may work in our favour and we can keep hold of him, because he'll certainly be a vital player going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficulty, because in terms of defenders, you need that consistency in players there and performances, albeit having Ward there for such a prolonged period of time hasn't necessarily worked, but just that familiarity. So, yeah, it's not it's never ideal to have a player chopping and changing, coming in and out of a team, particularly in such a crucial position. I mean, that move, that win moves Town up to seventh, bizarrely. Now we're 1 point off Peterborough. They've got two games in hand and, of course, got the JPT final today against Chesterfield. I mean, you know, with that, with a lot's been said now about Town actually playoffs, promotion, that really now being a possibility. It seems so bizarre. I mean, it's more to do with kind of Peterborough's complete drop in form and the other teams around us. No one's really making that mark. You know, Sheffield United had that, was it 10-12 game run? That only took them up so far, and to continue to push, you know, you go along further in the season was obviously a very difficult task. I mean, Ian, do you think, sort of, you know, looking around at the other sort of competitors, you've got Peterborough, Walsall, MK Dons, and Sheffield United, who do you think is most likely to get that sixth place?
I think you'd have to say Peterborough at the moment. I mean, I know, I'm aware, obviously, their form recently has not been great, but I think once they get the JPT final out of the way, I think you might see them pick up again in the league. And I don't know, I just think you look at the quality of some of their players, like Asamoah Longo, I just think they'll do enough to just get themselves over the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
failing that, I think Sheffield United have got a... despite being 10th, I think they've probably got a decent shout as well.
Yeah. I mean, Peterborough, they got their two games in hand, they're both at home. Mm-hmm. Colchester and Gillingham. So, you know, not necessarily difficult on the paper ties there. They've only got to play one of the top 10 left the season, that's Wolves. I think also at home. Going through the others, Swindon have got to play two of the top 10, Brentford and Rotherham, both at home. Walsall have got to play none of the top 10 this season. MK Dons have got to play Brentford, Rotherham and Orient. And also Sheffield United have also got to play Brentford, Orient and Rotherham, but in the next three games. So, you know, thinking about that sort of list there, I mean, it seems to me sort of Sheffield United got really three tough games sort of coming up now, and then they've got the FA Cup semi-final. Do you think they're more likely to be the ones to drop out of the race a lot sooner, Adam?
I think so. The FA Cup semi is obviously an unusual situation for Clonard Division to be in. That could work either way. It might not make much difference at all. But I think as you suggested, that they had a remarkable run over a 10-12 game period, and they'd need to do the same over the next eight games to make the playoffs, and that would represent really an amazing 20-23 game run, whatever, and that's not something that tends to happen. And actually, looking before yesterday, their away form, they were the lowest away scorers in the division before yesterday,
really?
Which is really strange. But
is that more to do with the early season catching up?
Yeah, that was only the 14th away goal they've scored, so they've obviously still got a few issues, which suggests that they probably need to win something like 7 out of 8 to make up that ground.
Yeah.
And with the nature of the fixtures that they've got, that seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew, you know, Walsall, the only team there who haven't got to play anyone in the top 10, which seems a bit of a fortunate position for them. I mean, in the end, I suppose it all relies upon Peterborough.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they only pick up one or three points from those two games in hand, then, you know, that difference is still quite marginal. You know, if they were to go away and win both of them, then it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, well, football's a funny old game, isn't it? And there's been a few goings on at Peterborough this year.
Something like Jimmy Hill then.
Yeah, I better be careful. We've talked about before on here, I think, about Peterborough and the fact that there seems to be a few. It doesn't seem to be quite right there, the quality they've got, and they seem to implode more than a few times a season. Personally, I think Peterborough will do it. I think, you know, I think with our win yesterday, I think we've blown Sheffield United out of it pretty much. I can't see. I think if you look at what we've got to realistically do to get a playoff place, I think Sheffield United, are out of it, and we'll just have to concentrate on next year. But I think Peterborough obviously in the stronger position. They've got two games in hand. Never say never. Obviously, Swindon have got Brentford and Rotherham at home, and, you know, I think we're more than capable of beating anyone at the County Ground. We've shown that, you know, recently. You touched on it at the start of the podcast, of the fact that, you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago after the Bristol City game. We're thinking Preston and Sheffield still to visit at County Ground. It could be a bit of a dire march, but here we are now.
Well, only if we would have picked up the points against Oldham and whoever else it was a couple of months ago. I can't remember now. I've just completely erased it from my
mind.
Exactly, yeah. So it's just disappointing. But I mean, that's sort of coming on to my next bit, really, about the sort of the criticism at that point, a month ago or so, was about the plan B and Mark Cooper's lack of plan B. I mean, yesterday, obviously, and last couple of games, Town have been lined up with his 3-5-2. It's just a different way of approaching the game from the start. It's not a plan B, because the plan B is when you change it in the game to counter something. I mean, Ian, do you think that does that wash? I mean, you know, what's made the difference for Town in the last couple of weeks? Is it something? Because
it's a strange. I mean, you could hang it on the change of formation. You could hang it on Stevens coming in. I mean, if you actually look at the players that are missing from the team, you arguably say that you've got Ranger out, Pritchard out, Mason out. There's probably various others. But you just think we've achieved these results over the past three or four games with several of the fringe players in the team. It could be arguably that the upturn in form is down to the pressure having been, you know, like the, because we all thought playoffs are out of reach, we thought that the pressure's come off.
And that was good. I mean, that was after the defeat by Wolves. And that was the first game when Cooper actually came out afterwards. He should have done it a lot sooner, in my opinion, actually said, kind of really played down the playoffs, because I can understand why Cooper and the players would always still want to come out and be positive to supporters, but they really need to take that pressure off them. I think, in my view, I think that that's been the key in the last couple of weeks, is just realising, we have done brilliantly this season. Wherever we're going to finish, we're not going to get relegated. We've had a good season. It's our most of us first season as a pro. They're all getting shattered.
Yeah.
Well, Ian touched on it there about the fact that, you know, this upturn in form has coincided with some of the fringe players getting a chance, and I think Cooper deserves a huge amount of credit, because he came out after the Wolves game and said playoffs are gone, and he's been saying ever since about finishing the season strongly. But also given the fringe players and the out of contract players a chance to prove their worth for next season, I think he's created a
but
real...
But he's had to, though, isn't he, to some extent? Because of what Ian said about Pritchard being suspended the last couple of games and Ranger out of the picture, having to bring Story back. Story's, to some extent, still a fringe player.
No, of course, his hand's been forced a little bit with that, but he's still carried it out. And he's still, you know, a lot of eyebrows were raised when Gladwin was thrown in against Preston and Alex Smith.
Yeah, mine.
I have to personally admit, when I saw Alex Smith's name on the team sheet for the Preston game, I wasn't sure, because he's a bit of a lightweight player and against a team of Preston's physicality. But, you know, you've got to give Cooper a huge amount of credit, because he's created this mentality. Fodringham talked a lot in the week about the fact that there is this mentality now within the team, where they are literally just concentrating on winning each game. Playoffs aren't even being talked about. And, you know, it's also this grit and determination that we haven't seen, really, all season. And
a bit of luck as well in the end, I think. And that's the thing. I mean, kind of grit and determination. It's so difficult to quantify that and to actually see it on the pitch. I mean, yesterday, you know, the fight was only there in the sense that they actually were managed to finish two good moves to get two good goals. You know, the rest of it was just kind of just stemming off, and being disciplined against Sheffield United, but ultimately our lack of concentration and positioning back cost us the goal that we conceded. It's a strange one. It's so easy to talk about sort of the fight and passion when we win.
Yeah,
I still think that they're trying hard when they're losing or drawing.
I totally agree. I think if Wes hadn't made that save in the 90th minute, then they'd obviously won it. I don't think we'd be saying it was a passionate performance. It's just one of those things. I think it does stem from results.
Yeah.
I think one interesting thing is that obviously we've played the last three games without Pritchard, won them all. I'm not even convinced we'd have played a 3-5-2 if he hadn't been suspended, because he wouldn't have been dropped. I don't think Pritchard really fits into a 3-5-2.
No, I was going to come on to that exactly. I mean, it's sort of yesterday's lineup was when no Spurs player, a lone player was in the team, and you know Pritchard being suspended, one of them. My question really was, should Pritchard now return? I mean, we got six games left this season. He is not going to be back at the County Ground next year unless he plays for an opponent. And even then, it would be nice if we were in the Championship in that case. But, I mean, he's working at the moment. I'm not saying the 3-5-2 suits every opposition we're going to play against this season. But we've got a winning team now. You don't change it.
No, and he was obviously a silly boy to get sent off in the way that he did. And you could certainly argue that as well. I think he has got a good attitude. He does work hard. And I think if you left him on the bench at Carlisle and we needed him after an hour, he would be so desperate to get on that I think he would make a real impact. Mm-hmm. My instinct would probably be to leave him out. And on top of that, we're probably going to have Longo probably available. Louis Thompson, of course, will be available to start. We've got various players coming back. And whereas a week or so ago he was scraping the barrel a bit to get a team, I don't think that'll be the case next week. I think we'll have a lot more options again. Mm. So I'd probably be in favour of letting him wait his turn.
Okay. I don't think Pritchard could have any arguments to being on the bench next week, can he?
Mm. No.
Having won the three games where he's been.
And it makes suspended. A perfect point, doesn't it? You obviously got. You know, from Swin to Garlisle isn't a short trip.
Mm.
And for even him to go up, be named in the match day squad and to go up there and not even make it on the pitch just sends out a message to him. Mm. I sort of think, you know, you've got to sort of buck up your ideas this season. You're with us until the end. You're going to contribute and you can actually make a difference when you come on the pitch. I think that's, you know, whether it is he comes on for the last sort of 2 minutes in injury time just to make that sort of point. You know, get out there and get your boots dirty.
Mm. Well, I was going to
keep your mouth shut.
You know, upset the apple cart here a bit.
You think he should?
You know, he's one of the, without a doubt, he's one of the best players at the club. And if you want to win games, you know, you've got to play your better players, haven't you? And, you know, I think
it's been about the last couple of games, though, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I know. And, the team have done very well. Of course they have. But I think now the problem Cooper's going to have this week now, and the P word started to sneak in a lot last week, and obviously I was guilty of throwing it in a few hundred times in various things. But that
Peterborough.
That yeah. The playoff word is going to be hovering about all week now, all next week. You know, they're a point off, obviously. I know Peterborough got two games in hand. But now the fans, the expectations are going to be high again without a
playoffs,
doubt.
Playoffs.
And we've seen how it was a few weeks ago, you know, when, you know, they were right behind Peterborough before. And, you know, obviously the fans are going to want the playoffs now we're within touching distance. And I think even though Cooper's not concentrating on the playoffs, he's saying that he wants to go and win every game and finish the season as strongly as he can.
Yeah, don't we all?
I think Pritchard should be involved. And even though the team have done well over the last few weeks, Alex Smith wasn't exactly, you know, wasn't great yesterday. And you know, I think you could accommodate Pritchard in somehow.
Well, it doesn't work as well on the wing, though, does he? And that's why. I mean, I'm not saying he can't play there. He does, but he's just been more effective in that sort of very high midfield sort of role, into sort of changing a more central position as a playmaker. But yeah, I mean, you know, Pritchard's a great player. I'm not saying that, and I recognise he is. It's just I think that we're in a different position now, a couple of games later, and and how that kind of looks at the whole sort of strategy, sort of moving forwards, really. I mean. You know, I touched on there about the sort of the Tottenham players, you know, start of the season, oh, we are Tottenham's reserve team. We're not at the moment in some respect. But, you know, much has been talked about who, you know, Cooper and Power are still going to rely upon loans for the future. It's part of the strategy and to forge links with other clubs. Obviously, Stevens is a key one and fantastic. So, Adam, do you, in terms of other clubs, who we could work with? I mean, Southampton being a potential sort of link for next season. Do you see any mileage in?
Yeah, I'd like to think. I think going back to last season, the start of this season, I think it was all a bit rushed because of obviously, you know, the way that the takeover happened and all that. And I think we went to Tottenham. Obviously, we've got a good relationship with them, and we just drafted in whoever they'd give us around about 3-4 weeks before the start of the season. Whereas I think this time. Firstly, we've got a much longer run-up at it, so they've been able to plan, presumably they're already planning, and they can continue to plan as to what they'd ideally like to get. I think also Premiership clubs might look at us, and I suppose the basic facts, even if a lot of the Spurs players haven't been involved lately, is that a lot of loanees have come in, and we've had a pretty good season off the back of it. And a lot of those loan players, from Pritchard through to Stevens, now have benefited from it. And so hopefully that means that we'll have 3 or 4 clubs, maybe, who are interested in sending us players, and we can therefore pick and choose a bit more carefully as to who we actually take.
I mean, Andrew, any inside line on who these other clubs are? Is Cooper going to just concentrate on one, like Spurs, like what we've done this season? Or, albeit, as Adam rightly said, that was the kind of the easy option and right approach for Cooper, for Power to have done, because that's who he knew at the time. Liverpool and other things.
Yeah, forged, but obviously Liverpool was muted a while ago, and with Engu, and that never came through. I think it'll be, you know, I can't be 100% sure, but I think, you know, there'll be a mixture of players coming through from a mixture of clubs. Tottenham, obviously, the relationship with Tottenham is actually with Sherwood and Lee Power. So if Sherwood goes, you know, there's a lot of question marks over his future. So if he goes, you know, we're not sure whether that, you know, where that leaves a link. With Southampton, no secret, you know, it's no secret of the fact, you know, Cooper talked about yesterday, that the aim with Stevens was to bring him in as a sort of tester to see how he, if he liked the club, if the club liked him, if he fitted in with the style of play. Southampton have been at every game Stevens has played in. They seem to be very impressed with what they've seen. So I think Stevens is very much a target for Cooper to bring in next year. So whether that will bring more players in from Southampton would be a very good link, because Southampton's under-21s are, boast a lot of good young talent.
On Southampton, who else have they got at Southampton in terms of their loans that have gone out this season in the Football League?
One, or? I noticed the other week, sort of roughly the same time Stevens came to us, was Peterborough took a player called Isgrove. Who we think is sort of a forward winger type, possibly similar to Pritchard, that I think is quite highly rated. I mean, obviously you've got your Luke Shaws and your James Ward-Prowsers, which are out of our league, but you look at the quality of their young English players and you just think, if we can forge some sort of link there. I mean, we've seen with Stevens, I mean, like you say, 20-year-old defender coming in, no Football League, or limited Football League experience, and you just think, because I mean last
it's
year
when,
you,
when
you had the Tottenham players come in last year, you had Byrne, Luongo and Parrott.
Parrott, forgot about him.
I mean, Luongo impressed, Byrne did okay.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I thought that we took him.
Yeah, yeah, same, yeah. And certainly paid, what was it, a six-figure fee for him. When I heard that, I was a bit surprised. But you look at Stevens, you think, well, yeah, if we can have a few more like him coming in, then it bodes well for next year. But of course, who knows? Have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, who have we got in the next couple of games? We've got, obviously, as you touched on, Carlisle, then Brentford, and then Easter weekend. So it's another sort of busy period coming up. Six games left. Can't believe we're sort of coming to the end of the season. Maybe be prolonged a bit more, but not quite. We'll wait and see. So that's all we've got time for this week on the podcast. Massive thanks to Adam, Ian and Andrew for joining me. And I'll speak to you after the Brentford game in 2 weeks' time. Bye then.